All right. Well, welcome to another meeting with Zion's Trumpet. Yours truly, Brother Daniel. How's everybody doing out there in Pal Talk Land? Good, good, good. All right. Marineth, Jamie says, climbing Mount Zion. Good for you. Okay. Well, a lot going on this week. I'll let open room up first here quick, see if anybody has anything to share. Anybody has anything on their mind you want to share before we start out? Just go ahead and raise your hand and we'll call on you. Looks like Sister Irma has something. Okay, Sister Irma, you got the mic.
Last night I was reading your newsletter on bringing forth iron, and through your writings and circumstances surrounding me right now, I see how much more I need to learn about discerning and dealing with these wicked, destructive, and demonic spirits. I do thank God for what I have learned, and I know God is using you to set the captives free, not only those in this room, but many who listen in on your website. And I know that there are many adversaries, but Jesus had them also, only because he spoke truth. I just wanted you to know your many hours of labor and the heavy burdens you carry are not in vain. One day you will hear the Lord say, quote, well done, thy good and faithful servant. God bless you. That's it, Dan.
Well, thank you, Irma. I certainly hope that's what I hear. What's said for the Lord. This coming October 7th, I think it is, will be the fourth year we're on here. We've been here for 4 years already. Time flies when you're having fun. Let's see. Looks like we got Brother Rich. You have your hand up. Good. You got the mic, brother.
Okay. It looks like I have to keep this thing pressed down, so sorry about that. I don't know if you got the first part that I said, that I'm so very happy to be in the fellowship room again tonight. It's a real blessing to me, and I want to share what the Lord has done with me in the last 2 months that I haven't been in the room. But first, I would like to thank Jenna and Megan very much for their very honest and open testimonies. It really touched me. It made a real impact on my life. And I like what Brother Daniel said after Jenna spoke her testimony. He said, praise the Lord, another one snatched from the clutches of our enemy, the devil. And I also say, praise the Lord and amen to that, sisters. And I also am blessed too, Brother Daniel, by the thing for Jenna that you put on about her baptism and visit. It just, I saw that and it made me weep because with joy because of what happened there. It was a real blessing to me. I just want to say tonight how good and gracious and loving is the Lord toward his people. And I would also like to praise him with all of my heart and to say how powerful and effective he is when helping defeat sin in our lives. It is a pleasure for me tonight to share this with you all. I would also like to say I was really humbled by Brother Brian's testimony last week. I'm so glad you're back with the brothers, Brian, and the sisters in Pennsylvania. I have a great respect for you and love for you, brother. God bless you. You're back where you belong, brother. And I pray that if the Lord is willing, I'll be seeing you all in October. And tonight I hope my testimony is not too negative, but I believe this is what the Lord wants me to share. I hope someone can get something from this and make sense of it. It made a whole lot of sense to me. So I would like to begin with a scripture from 2 Peter 1:10. The Lord spoke this to me when he first started dealing with me about this sin in my life that needed to be dealt with and overcome. Anyhow, it goes on, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And that, it really kind of woke me up a little bit, that scripture there. And I'm saying this is definitely what I should have been doing in my walk with the Lord, but and making my calling and election sure and seeking the Lord with all of my might. But as I continue in this testimony, you will see that I was certainly walking directly opposed to it and completely failed until recently to walking even partly in this scripture. I am not there yet. I was not continuing to make my calling and election sure. I was actually being outright in rebellion against what the Lord's will was for me. He wants me to be an overcomer and to walk in the high calling and His will for my life. The Lord spoke to me a few months ago and told me that if I continued in the current path that I was on, that I would not enter into His kingdom, nor would I keep my salvation, much less enter into the high calling. It was because of this sin in my life. I had not been honest before the Lord, or even honest with myself. This sin was brought on by a demonic influence in my own rebellion against the Lord and my own lust and love for this sin. I had broken through this once before, but I was once again entangled it through my own lust and deception from the devil. It got to be where I started feeling like a hypocrite all the time, which I definitely was, because I thought I was talking a good walk, but I was actually being deceived and actually walking in sin and open rebellion. I believe this hypocritical feeling was given to me by the Lord so He could show me to my face and get in my face very clearly about my own rebellion against the Lord. Also that I would lose out in my walk and I was on my way to being sent to hell if I did not repent and overcome this sin. I was not willing to face the truth about myself, and my outright and direct rebellion to commit this sin was a rejection, a total rejection of the Lord and what His will was for my life. Because of this deception in my life, the Lord led me to stay out of the fellowship room for a while so He could deal with me. I continue to pray that I realize and continue to realize just how serious my rebellion and this sin is to the Lord. I am so thankful to the Lord for showing me the truth about myself and my spiritual condition. I pray that I will continue to be open to the Lord, revealing to me my spiritual condition when it is necessary, especially if it's not good. After the Lord got in my face and woke me up out of this deception, He spoke to me and told me to stay away from the internet. I started looking for answers from the Lord, so I emailed Daniel, Brother Daniel, and told him about this sin of my own lust that I had been entangled again. I asked him for help and told him that I would submit to what he said I should do. Brother Daniel replied to my email and agreed with me and confirmed to me to stay away from the internet for a while. I stayed off surfing the internet, except for emailing Daniel and doing online banking and catching the news sometimes. I would like to read a part of that email that Daniel sent me that really encouraged me to press on and try to overcome this sin and to be honest about this to the Lord and to myself. After receiving this email, I really started to battle to get free of this demonic stronghold. Praise the Lord. This is the email here. When we have a problem with a besetting sin, is usually because we like to what we get from it. We may be getting mental, emotional, or physical pleasure, or comfort, or security from it. That's why we keep doing it. We don't hate that sin. What we hate are the negative consequences that come with it, like the condemnation and the guilt. The first thing we have to do is acknowledge the truth. We have to acknowledge to ourselves and to God that we love that sin. People make a biggest mistake when they go before God and tell Him they hate this or that sin they keep committing, and they want Him to help Him to get free from it. But that's not the truth, and God knows it. He's not going to help us when the whole thing is based on a lie, which essentially is what my hatred at that point was a lie, because I didn't go before him and tell him that I loved it. Instead, we should go before him and confess the truth, which is that we love that sin, and then ask him to give us a holy hatred for it so we can resist it the next time we are tempted with it. Also, we should ask him to give us faith to bind any unclean spirit that urges us on when we are tempted. Also, when we have a problem with certain sins, it's wise not to place ourselves in situations or environments where we'll be tempted with those very things. Brother Daniel, in that email, made me realize that only through acknowledging the truth to the Lord that I had loved that sin, and that I had also had to be brutally honest with myself and battle this thing with the Lord's help with all my strength. In doing these things and submitting and humbling myself to the Lord, I could overcome this sin. Daniel's email gave me instructions in how to gain the victory in asking the Lord to give me a holy hatred for that sin, to resist it with all my might and bind with faith the demonic unclean spirit that would urge and tempt me. The Lord has given us authority so we can bind those, and I want to emphasize this, the Lord has given us the authority so we can bind those tempting demonic forces that would come to urge and tempt us to fail, and also not to place myself in any situation or environment that I could be tempted. This is a battle that I must wage daily, 24/7, in overcoming the enemy. And I am not being ignorant of the devil's devices. Because of my involvement in this sin, it became a daily battle. This has really been a vicious battle for me, but I will continue to submit to the Lord and resist and battle and ask for the Lord's help to continue to overcome. So far, praise the Lord, I'm staying strong in the battle with the help of the Lord. Again, it has been a vicious battle, but I am set in faith to battle in the power of His might. I am continually submitting to the Lord and praying for a holy hatred of this thing. I desire a complete breakthrough. I know now in complete faith that the Lord will continue to help me in my determination to be an overcomer and to deliver me from this sin. I have to continue to do my part daily by dying to self and submitting to His will for my life. I really want to walk in the purity and righteousness before the Lord. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." The devil seeks out those to whom he may devour, and he doesn't really care how he goes about it. He attacks from all directions and is very subtle, especially when he knows my guard is down and when I am the weakest. If I am defeated, it is because I failed to humble myself and get the Lord's help. The Lord revealed to me that in the past, when I tried to battle the devil against this sin, it was in my own strength and self-righteous pride, and I can do it by myself attitude. I have that kind of attitude sometimes where I think I can do everything myself, but I must humble myself before the Lord. He showed me that and said that I will never prevail against the devil battling him myself. So I realize now I must never let my guard down and always submit to the Lord and resist and stay strong and battle in him and keep battling him until he flees from me. When battling this sin, I always said that I was battling the devil, but I was deceiving myself. I was not being honest before the Lord. As I stated earlier, that it was because of the pride in my myself attitude. Therefore, there was still an openness to fall back into this particular sin. The devil also comes to kill, steal, and wants to crush and destroy every bit of my walk with God. He is vicious in his attacks and relentless, and I really realize now I cannot battle him in my own strength. But I tried to. And in James 7 it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Anyhow, this sin is the worst and hardest sin I have ever had to deal with and try to overcome in my life. I am now praying that the Lord can reveal other things in my life that need to be dealt with and overcome. My desire is to walk in the high calling and be completely sanctified by the presence of the Lord in my life and by the power of the Holy Spirit as I try to die to self and battle the devil and try to move into perfection. I know I'm not yet off the hook on this thing, even though I've been overcoming, but with the Lord's help, I am getting closer than I have ever been in defeating this sin. I know I will be tested from time to time and be tempted in this again, but I know now that I can defeat the devil in my life in faith, knowing that the Lord will help me. I am very serious about this, and I'm trying to be very honest before the Lord and myself so that the Lord can help me walk in the victory. I pray that I will always resist and battle the devil with the Lord's help. We are not ignorant of the devil's devices. I wanted to read also, that song that Brother Jamie dedicated to me, which meant so much to me. I wanted to read the words because it really helped me in my time of testing. And the song is called "Hold On a Little Longer." And when you brothers and sisters sang that, it really blessed me. Hold on a little longer, hold on a little stronger, for the testings of the Lord are pure as gold. He may take you through the fire, but he'll burn out dross and mire. So hold on a little longer, hold on. I took the hand of Jesus and stood upon his promise, but it seems I have trusted him in vain. But the answer I have prayed for is on its way and paid for, so hold on a little longer, hold on. The answer to this was always there, and I didn't realize it. But I just want to say tonight how thankful I am to you, Brother Daniel, and Annabelle, and the rest of those in this room. I still need to be more honest with myself and honest before the Lord to defeat the other things in my life. Anyhow, that's all I had. I'm sorry it was so long.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Rich. It wasn't so long. Don't worry about it. I thank you. I appreciate that testimony. God bless you. And we pray that the Lord strengthen you. Amen. Thank you for sharing. Somebody stand here. You want to share? Okay, hang on a second. Looks like Seth wants to share something. Okay.
Hello, everyone. Been through quite a bit this week. Just wanted to share something that was made real to me. Wanted to thank Dan for his word last week. It was great. And I was reading Galatians, and I was reading chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. It says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And that was just made so real to me with what Dan said in that, to be able to help one another in that. It's been such a blessing being here, and I thank the Lord, and I thank Dan and Mama for me to be here in that, to learn myself, to grow, and then also to help others. set others free. It's wonderful to be here and that, and to be allowed to help people get free from bondages or whatever else, and to learn at the same time. That was all. I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Seth. That's great. Good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Seth. God bless you. Amen. Anybody else have anything? In the room here, anybody? Anybody in the room here or in the chat room? Or okay. Well, first of all, I was going to do a song or two, maybe. Well, probably one anyway, for sure. All right. Kind of felt on my heart this evening. You all know it. It's called Streams in the Desert. Let's see if I can sing it. There were times I know when my feet were not slipping, and only by grace did I stand. And the load I carried, I knelt down below it, but I did not let go of His hand. He made streams in the desert away. In the wilderness, the waters He parted, and there was dry land. He made streams in the desert away. In the wilderness, because I held to His hand. And the tempter untiring, He drew grand conclusions of what a poor fool I am. And through waves of worry and clouds of confusion, still I did not let go of His hand. He made streams in the desert away. And there was dry land. He made streams in the desert away. In the wilderness, because I held to His hand. And so, my brethren, commit to His keeping your lives for Him to plan. For though trials be grievous, there's no shame in weeping. Just don't let go of His hand. Streams in the desert away. In the wilderness, the waters He parted, and there was dry land. He made streams in the desert away. In the wilderness, because I held to His hand. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for being there in our times of trouble. Well, I was going to play a tape for you tonight, but before I played that, I wanted to share just a little short something that God made real to me, is making real to me. Just a little simple thing. In 2 Timothy 3:1, Paul warns about the last days. He said, "This know also that in the latter days perilous times shall come." And he goes on and names all the things that people are going to be: lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, have no natural affection, etc., etc. So perilous times are coming, right? Look at that word one time, and it's kalipos. It means dangerous, or by implication, furious, fierce, perilous. The only other place in the New Testament that word, that Greek word, kalipos, is used, is strangely enough in Matthew 8:28, when it's talking about the Gadarene demoniac. 8:28 says, "And when he was come unto the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way." Exceeding fierce, that's the same Greek word there as translated perilous times in 2 Timothy. And, of course, exceedingly fierce, you know, gives the idea that the Satan's been let loose and in all areas of our life, government, economy, you know, the moral fabric, everything's gone nuts. Everything's going to hell in a handbasket. People are getting more fierce and fierce, anti-God. They hate God. They hate straight people. They hate anybody with morality. You know, the populations are just going berserk and going to demonic frenzies. And dealing with people, we've dealt with people in the last couple of years, and we're dealing with them now, that it's hard for them to find true salvation. It's hard for them to find true salvation. For many different reasons. One, because they're demon-possessed, basically. But they got in that condition because of something Brother Rich mentioned. And that's what made me think of this. He said he was not willing to face the truth about himself. He was not willing to face the truth about himself. And you know, there's so many people who are trying to come to Jesus right now. Trying to get saved. Trying to get free from their problems. Trying to give a new life. And they're not really repenting. The repentance isn't real because they're not willing to face the truth about themselves. They're willing to repent of this sin or that sin or some, you know, big thing that's in their mind that they did wrong. Here and there, individual sins, but they're not willing to take a good, hard, ruthless look at themselves and see how evil they really are, how selfish they really are, how self-centered they really are. We're all Jacob. We're born in Adam, and until we're born again, we're all Jacob. We'd all sell our mother for a nickel. We all get, under the right circumstances, we all would do evil, evil things. And when right now, I mean, I think 30, 40 years ago, when somebody tried to get saved without a real, true repentance, it's just that nothing happened. Nothing happened. Today, when people try to get saved without a genuine, deep, real repentance, they get powerful, powerful Antichrist spirits come in their life and do everything for them that the Spirit of God does for a genuine Christian. He gives them feelings of peace, of forgiveness, of love, feelings of love, anything. He leads them and guides them through the Word, leads them and guides them through visions and dreams, through all the things that a Christian is led by, this Spirit leads people by. It's just very hard to get saved right now. I'm telling you, it's very hard for an unsaved person to get saved. I've never seen anything like it. And the only way anybody's going to get saved in this hour is to go get a deep, deep revelation of their sin. So the repentance is right down at the roots, not repenting on some kind of level for this sin or that sin. Maybe they beat their wife once, or maybe they took drugs a little while. They got to get a deep revelation of either evil. They're sinners against God. They hate God. And unless that happens, people just cannot get saved right now. Hundreds, thousands are walking out of churches, walking out of meetings, possessed by an Antichrist angel of light. Because they didn't repent right. It's a horrible time. And I think when he said perilous times are coming, exceeding fierce days, that's what we're up against. We're up against the time is so evil, and the demonic forces are so strong, that it's actually hard for somebody to get saved right now. That's a scary time to be in, people. Scary time. Anyway, this is a very important truth about facing the truth about ourselves. It just doesn't apply to salvation, original salvation. If you want to go on in Christ, you want to go on in God, you want to go on in high calling, we've got to look at ourselves honestly and let God deal with all these things in us that we tend to hide from, or we put a cover over, or we build a facade, build a straw man, a false person over top our real person. God can't get through any of that. He cannot get through any of that garbage. I have a tape I was going to play tonight by a brother named Robert Thompson. And he's talking about loving the truth above everything else and about this call. And, of course, it's nothing new. It's the same thing I teach in this room. But it's always nice to hear from somebody else, hear a different angle, different voice, different way of expressing it. You know, so I was going to play that tonight. And he's talking about the same thing. Well, he's not going into as deep as I am. He's not emphasizing it so much. He's saying, hey, we got to love the truth. If you want to go on in God, you must love the truth above all else. Okay? So if nobody else has anything to share at the moment, I'm just going to play this tape. It's not quite an hour long, so I'm going to play that for you, okay? I think you'll be blessed by it. All right? Give me a second to turn my system over here.
Revelation 22, verses 4 through 7. And here we go. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. All right, now, in verse 4 is a remarkable statement. They shall see his face. Now, it doesn't say that Adam and Eve saw the face of God. It does not say that. But the inference is that they did, in that there's no verse that says they didn't. And so we would assume if God was walking in the garden and they were accustomed to that, that they probably went to him without even giving it a second thought, and probably were able to see God as he is. So we have to think about why we can't. Why are we not permitted to see God's face? And what will happen in us so that there will come a day when we can see his face? Now, in Exodus 33:11, we have an interesting verse. Exodus 33:11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. However, we know from the 20th verse that it's speaking in a kind of a general way, that Moses spoke more directly than we do, or the rest of Israel. But he didn't actually see the face of God, because in verse 20 it says, in verse 18, Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And in verse 20, God said to Moses, you cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Now, Moses talked with the Lord, took off the veil, went into the Holy of Holies, talked with the Lord, came out again and put on the veil, because it did alter his countenance so people couldn't look at it. But even at that point, he was evidently just seeing the Shekinah, the glory, the light. Maybe he was on his face. And God spoke to him as a man speaks to his friend, and not in prophecy, but directly. But the face-to-face thing is an expression, because it wasn't actually, Moses did not stand and look in the face of God, because he couldn't do that and remain alive. Now, when you stop to think about that, that's pathetic.